She's out there. You're the Florida version of Sex in the City, JD.
That's when I was smoking my cigar.
Don't be an asshole today.
Hey.
Hey, Nick. How's it going, buddy?
Going well. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm okay. I've had a rough month since we last spoke. It's been rough, man.
That's not good. What's been going on?
Well, you know, like, my wife is away.
Yeah.
And so I'm in charge of everything, and I'm not used to it.
Yeah, it becomes a lot to take on when it's just you there.
Literally, just giving my cat a pill is stressing me out. And oh, he's gosh, good. Man. He's like, he's really good. You know, stick it in a little pill pocket thing, and he's fine. But it's like, remembering to do it is stressing me out, because that's normally her, you know, morning job. So yeah, just little things like that, you know. And I had a horrible loss. My ex-husband passed away.
No. Sorry to hear that.
Not unexpectedly, but a little bit unexpectedly. You know, like, I knew he was sick and I knew he wasn't doing well, but I just didn't know how bad it was. So that's hard, because, like, I seriously have, you know, known him and been close for 30 years, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's a rough go. And my parents are supposed to be coming in December. So I'm excited, but I'm stressed about it. You know, I'm worried they're tightening restrictions like crazy.
That's true.
Oh, if they have to cancel, I'll be devastated. I have so much groceries coming. Like,
yeah, you got to stock up.
I have all their favorite things coming, you know. Yeah. Like, I don't drink gin. I've got a gin taster thing here for my mother with like 8 different gins. Oh my God. I've got like more wine than you can shake a stick at for my stepdad. And I've got, like I said, like so much food. And if they don't come, like, honest to God, I'll be devastated. I will be devastated.
Well, yeah, that's a lot that you have there. And just the stress of having people visit too, like, that's a lot. Just,
yeah, you know you want everything to be like nice. And my mom's disabled. So I have like a walker upstairs, a walker downstairs. You know, I'm trying to make clean lines and clear paths everywhere. You know, that kind of thing. So, you know, trying to do all these little home improvement things that I've been thinking about forever, but didn't really stress about it, because who cares? No one's coming around. So yeah, now all of a sudden I'm doing touch-up paint and cleaning light switches and like all kinds of dumb
things. Now you're doing everything.
And my wife goes, you know, they don't see very well. You don't have to stress out. Like, I'm scrubbing spots on carpets. And I'm like, she's right. They probably wouldn't even notice this.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm doing it to myself. I'm fully aware that I'm doing it to myself. But on the flip side of that, it's really passing the time. So,
well, yeah, you know, I'm sure.
That's keeping busy is the way to go.
I know. I totally understand that. I've been filling my time with movies. I've been seeing all the movies in theaters lately. So I don't know if you've been watching any movies lately. Have you seen any new movies?
I'm definitely more of a TV person. I've been binging. A friend of mine told me about that Midnight Diner on Netflix, and I binged the shit out of that. So I find like chef shows, because I'm so lazy, I don't want to cook. But once I start watching those kinds of shows on Netflix, then I will literally get up and cook like some fantastic meals and do some meal prep and not have to order takeaway. So that's kind of how I pass my time. I feel like all my regular shows that I watch on TV right now are not here yet, because they always have to finish in the States first.
Oh yeah.
Be like mid-season, so I don't have them yet. And I'm like, God, there's nothing recorded. So I have been, you know, doing my share of Netflix binging. So what have you seen? What have you watched?
Well, I started binging the Great British Baking Series. Yeah, I know. I'm still aware, you know, there's Mary and Paul. And so I know
way early in.
Yeah, I'm very early in because I know that Mary, she leaves at some point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so do Mel and Sue. I hate to break it to you.
Oh, I love Mel and Sue. That's a shame.
I know. I hate to break your heart, but it's coming. I just want you to be prepared.
Well, that's good to know, you know.
When they do leave, I think that's when you get Prue, the new mm-hmm. judge with Paul. And she's lovely. Okay. She's just another lovely old British woman. But then the two hosts, you get Noel Fielding and you get Sandy Toksvig. I don't know if you know her, but she's a very well-known lesbian over here and she is fantastic.
Oh, well, that's good.
She's everything you would love about a British lesbian. Like, she's super intelligent. She's witty. She's got an amazing, in fact, she's got such a good sense of humor that she had a one-woman show going for a while, and we went to see her at Fairfield Hall. And I got to tell you, man, I was never so entertained. It was so interesting. Like, she makes you, you're fully engaged the whole time. It's not just like joke after joke after joke. It's witty little story after some phenomenal, interesting fact, you know? So.
Well, I'm excited then. I'm excited to see her show up.
Don't be sad. Don't be sad. Good things are coming. And then she leaves. And then. Then things start to fall apart a little bit because then you've got Matt Lucas and Noel Fielding. We just finished our, I don't even know what season this was. I want to say 13, maybe?
Yeah, I know that there's definitely more than 10. I've been looking through all of them. I'm like, okay, yeah, I've got to pace myself here because there's a lot.
Yeah, but you know, the formula stays the same throughout. Mm-hmm. So you know what to expect on every show, but the contestants just get better and better and better. And they really have spawned so many great bakers that then go on to have like their own shows. Like, I don't remember what season Nadia Hussein was on, but she is like my most favorite. And she has so many different shows now on television, you know, like she hosts things. She's got her own shows. I like the one where she kind of travels to different places around the country to learn where things come from, you know, like that, you know, everyday things that you use, whether it's golden syrup or sugar or whatever, she actually goes to the factories and she'll go all the way back to like where they farm saffron, you know what I mean? Like, it's
fascinating.
It is. It's really, really interesting. And she's so cute about everything. You know, that you're just like, you're so happy to see her. You know, when she's on Graham Norton, I just get so excited. I'm just like, oh my God, Nadia's on. Because she's just, she's so open. Like, she's open about having bouts of depression and struggles with mental health. But, you know, then when you see her and she's so chipper and cheery, you can't even believe it. And you think, wow, what she must go through to get from one extreme to the other, you know. But there's been some really cool bakers coming up. You know, you'll really, really enjoy it. That's a great show to binge on.
Well, I look forward to her season then, because I will definitely be watching out for her.
Yeah,
wait.
There's a lot of quirky people. I mean, like, I think I remember one where some guy and he was such a hipster, you know, the rolled up jeans, the beard and everything, and he was so frustrated with himself and what had come out. I don't even know if it was a technical challenge or a signature or whatever, but he threw everything away and everybody like just opened up the trash can and threw it away and stormed off, and everybody was just like, oh, like, and they like, the judges were just like, you don't do that. You don't,
yeah,
you don't have, you don't show up and have nothing to present. You know what I mean?
That's true. Yeah, and you can't do that.
Like, I mean, everybody was just like, oh my God, I think it was like the biggest controversy I've ever seen on the show. But yeah, you'll have a great time with that.
Well, I can't wait.
That's a good one.
I'll have a lot to keep.
What kind of movies? I'm gonna crack this open while we're talking. I'm drinking a Mad Squirrel Stout.
Ooh, that's good.
I don't know how it's gonna be. I know it's gonna be dark and I know it's gonna be strong, but it's been that kind of day. So
well, you definitely deserve it then. Exactly. So I've been seeing some queer films. I saw Benedetta this past weekend. Have you heard of Benedetta?
Is that the lesbian nun movie?
Yes, the lesbian nun movie.
Oh my God, how was it?
It was good. It was surprisingly good coming from like a straight cis man, you know, directing it because, you know, it's Paul Verhoeven and he directed like Showgirls and Starship Troopers. And great, so, record. You know,
not knowing what to expect there, huh?
Yeah, exactly. And so it was actually surprisingly tame, you know, with the type of, is it strong?
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks strong. I saw from your facial expression.
Okay.
But
we're going to ease into
that. I know, just let it soak in.
Wasn't expecting that.
But you know, I was surprised by how tame this film was, you know, because he's known for, you know, very exploitative type of films, you know, and especially with the male gaze on, you know, female bodies in cinema.
Yeah.
But I was impressed. Example.
Right. Oh, good. Yeah. That's good to know. I've seen a few little blips, you know, just that it was being released and you know, kind of being pinned as the lesbian nun movie, but it's more than that, isn't it? Is that really it?
Well, you know, it's interesting. So I guess it's based on a true story of this nun in this town in like Tuscany back in the 17th century. And I know, I absolutely love that. I had no idea about that. And so, you know, it's really about her coming up against the church who, you know, doesn't approve of this lifestyle, of these allegations that are launched against her for being queer, and also her visions of, you know, being very much able to perceive what's going to happen to the town that she lives in, because that was the time during the plague.
And so
she was like, I'm here, you know, through, you know, God to protect you, she's telling this town. And it was really interesting the type of reception she had with the town being of her identity. So it's definitely something to really look forward to see how, you know, this town kind of embraces her for who she is.
Oh, good. Yeah.
And how she embraces herself. You know, there's not a lot focus on, you know, her coming up against her own religious ideology and her identity. You know, she fully accepts who she is. So, you know, it's very positive, I would have to say.
That's good.
I love that.
Okay. Fantastic. That's deep, you know, that's like on a deep level for Paul Verhoeven, you know what I mean?
Exactly. Yes.
It's really deep. Yeah. Wow. That's a touchy subject matter, isn't it? You know,
it is.
Gays in church.
I know. I feel like it's never going away, that theme. And I love that intersection of religion and, you know, queerness and how it's portrayed. So it's definitely, look forward to Benedetta.
Oh, that's cool. That's good. That's good to know. That's a good one. What else? Anything else?
Ooh, another one that's on Netflix currently is The Power of the Dog. I wonder if you heard of that one with Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yes, I heard of it, but I have no clue what it's about or anything.
So it's based on a novel by Thomas Savage, And it's about these two ranchers who live in Montana in the 20s. And one of them is this Yale graduate who is very much domineering, and he's played by Benedict Cumberbatch. And his brother is played by Jesse Plemons, and he's very much the antithesis of Benedict Cumberbatch's character. He's definitely much more gentle.
I saw the trailer for this.
Yeah.
I did. Okay, go on. Yeah.
And so they have this very interesting dynamic on their ranch. And so Jesse Plemons falls in love with Kirsten Dunst's character, Rose, and her son is this, you know, very like gangly, like Cody Smith McPhee, you know, type of guy who's like very much queer coded. Yeah. And so, you know, from the get-go, you know, Rose doesn't like how Benedict Cumberbatch is very like domineering towards her son. And so when Jesse Plemons marries her character, then the whole dynamic on the ranch completely just gets, you know, put out of whack and things come to a head. That's all, you know, I'll say. But let's just say there's a lot of like toxic masculinity in this film. So it's very interesting to kind of look at that and then compare it to Benedetta.
Yeah. Right. A little more.
Yeah.
Tell me what Jesse Plemons has been in before.
Ooh, so Jesse Plemons, he started out on Friday Night Lights, and he was most recently in, I feel like one big thing was Black Mirror. He was in the Star Trek episode on Black Mirror. Right. I was okay. Like the second to most recent season.
Picture in his face. Would you believe that we are just now getting Friday Night Lights over here?
Oh wow, well that's exciting.
So
get some American football, you know, some Texas football over in the UK.
Yeah, it's like oof. But yeah, I love me some Connie Britton, so I'm okay with it.
Oh yes, I know. Yeah. I absolutely only watched Nashville her.
for her and Lennon and what's her name? Stella. Stella.
Yeah, and, yeah.
Know, or Lennon and Stella, whatever. But the girl.
I know, her name is like one, like it starts with one of those and then it ends with the other.
Yeah. So talented though. I still follow her on Instagram. Like every time she releases a song, I'm like, damn, that's good. Damn, that's good.
Yeah, it was fun to watch her grow up on that show.
Yeah. Yeah. Even the little one too. The little one is fantastic.
Yeah. No, yeah, Nashville, that was a great show.
Nashville was good. Yeah. The music was, I just remember like every second or third episode that I'd watch, I would go right to iTunes and buy like a couple of songs.
Yeah.
You know, like I like those songs so much. I'm going to go buy them, you know, but they, I guess after it left, you know, big regular network television, went to CMT, and then Connie Britton left, and I feel like they had to wrap it up really quick, and it just I stuck it out. I definitely stuck it out, but I wasn't super thrilled with how they had to wrap it up, everything up. But
yeah,
you know, you're so invested, on a low now. Just drop off after, you know, the final season. You know, you gotta see it through.
Yeah, no, I know. I hated how that series ended, but at least they were able to tie it up in some way. Yeah, so
that's most you can hope for, like nowadays, because so many things between COVID or whatnot just got dropped.
Yeah, just axed. Yeah.
Like, fuck, man. I just finished the L Word, Gen Q. I know you guys have had it. It's been over with over there, but then I found it. I found a way to get it over here. So I binge those. And I will tell you this much. The only, and I mean only, person that I could relate to in all 10 episodes was Rosie O'Donnell.
Yeah.
I mean, what a great character they gave her. You know, the one that was actually saying the things that most of us feel like, how do I compare with somebody like Bette Porter? You know,
yeah,
that dresses like that and that, you know, presents themselves like that and that looks like that. And, you know, those are the things that I felt every season of it. You know, like this is so not representing, you know. And then of course, all the gratuitous, you know, sex in it is with the 20-year-olds, you know.
Yeah.
And but don't show Rosie and Tina. Don't you, you know, no, God forbid, who wants to see two plump bodies banging against each other? No, yeah. They want to see the young, you know. So I was like a little bit miffed by all that, but I get it. And I get that that's why it keeps coming back. You know, like I understand that part of it. And then the complete antithesis of that, I watched all of season two of Work in Progress with Abby McEnany. Is that her name?
Yeah, so she's funny. Great.
So awkward. And but like in a breath of fresh air kind of way, you know, yeah. The anxiety. And I felt like this season was a little bit lighter overall. Mm-hmm.
You know, it was.
Was kind of dark, you know. But
yeah,
you know, there were bits of darkness in this season, but I think it's the relationship that she has with her best friend, with Campbell.
Yeah.
And their scenes together, like their banter is off the chain. It's just the banter.
I love them together.
Right? Everybody wants to have that with their bestie. And it's just so good. It was really, really well done. And it felt like it wrapped up with a promise of season three. Like the sisters' marriage seemed to be in a weird place with the husband's friend and all that.
Yeah.
You know, kind of alluding to thruple-ish stuff, maybe not, don't know. But at least for me, it was like, ooh, there's the door for season three. So I'm looking forward to that one.
Yeah, fingers crossed Showtime, you know, decides to renew Showtime it.
Because I have to find it like on an app for my TV. So, but it's done by
Showtime.
Okay. All right.
Disney. Yeah, over here in the States, it's on Showtime. And yeah, I haven't heard anything yet. So fingers crossed.
It took a long really time, hoping. Right? For season two, it felt like it took like a year and a half.
It did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I just noticed one of the ads on my, we have like Sky, it's like our big channel over here. Mm-hmm. And they have like Sky Witness, Sky Replay, Sky One, and now Sky Comedy. And it looks like Sky Comedy bought into Peacock.
Oh, wow. Okay.
A couple of shows coming, you know, that they've been advertising, and I'm like, oh, we're gonna get that. And then I keep seeing the ad tomorrow night, and just like that.
Oh yeah, I am so ready for that. I haven't, it's been a while. That's perfect. We can actually talk about that.
Exactly. Then. Like, you're not going to keep anything from me. I'm not going to keep anything from you. This is fantastic.
I know. I'm excited. And I have good feelings, you know, with Cynthia Nixon reprising her character. I think that, you know, maybe some things will change. You know, maybe there's some queerness involved with their character. I'm really hoping, maybe.
You've seen this scene with her in a gorgeous black, is she black maybe or Indian? I don't even know, but they have, you know, some scenes with them together at lunch or something. And I'm like,
but I know, you know, maybe.
I didn't think I would be this excited about it because I was never that excited about Sex and the City. You know, it was just something that was out in the background that you followed. You know, like I didn't clear my schedule for it or anything, you know what I mean? And yet here I am. I love when this happens. Like I love when they revisit shows, you know, after a long time, and they, you know, it's just, it, you know, it does, I get emotional. Like I said, I wasn't even attached. I was never a huge Friends fan, but I bawled my eyes out at the Friends reunion.
Yeah.
You know, like, pulling out every 3 minutes, like, oh my god.
Well, yeah, no, like it's totally understandable because, you know, these were shows that were such a huge part of the cultural conversation that it's like they really just became part of our lives regardless of, you know, if we watch the series or not, you know.
Yeah, considering the amount, you know, over here, Friends is on 24/7, any channel, any time of day, you can find it. So
it's here too. Yeah.
Yeah. I grew into it. You know, when it was on again, it was like, you know, you again, I watched it, but I didn't plan my calendar around it.
But yeah,
the more, you know, it's on, and I think that's what it is. The same thing with Sex and the City. It was like the reruns is where you binged a little here and there, you know. But I think when they're gone for a little bit and you have a chance to miss them, and then they bring it back, that's what gets me. Like, oh my god, everybody's older now, and you know, it's like
that's true
times.
Yeah, you know, it's like it just marks the passage of time, and it's like, wow, things have changed so much. And we compare like what's happening in these reboots and everything when these shows are revisited to, you know, just how life was like and how it was portrayed back when these shows were originally on. And it's like so much has changed in just 20 years,
yeah,
you know, 20 plus years.
I like to see how they've matured. And that was one of the reasons why, like, I remember saying the words, I am not going to watch the new L Word. I'm just not. But then there's that curiosity, like, what are they doing and what are their characters doing now and what do they look like? And, you know, how are they representing what's going on today? You know, and I think that's another part of this. Oh, excuse me 1 second. Okay. I think that's another part of this thing with Sex and the City is that you want to see how they're going to handle what the world is like today.
Yeah.
You know, so that's what I'm most looking forward to. Sarah Ramirez?
I know. Like, and they're bringing back some queer characters too. You know, I forget who the actor was that played Samantha's one, like, queer love interest.
Oh, Mario. You know? Mario Cantone, right?
It was one of her partners, actually. You know, one of her romantic partners. I think I'm trying to remember who played her, but I'll have to look it up.
I know who you mean. Sonia Braga.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Oh, I thought you meant Charlotte's bestie, Anthony.
Yeah.
No, you're talking about Samantha when she had the lesbian relationship with Sonia Braga. That was fantastic.
Yeah, I swear. I thought I saw her, you know, briefly. So, you know, I'm like, they're bringing back so many characters.
I'm that's, you know, there were so many characters that had these little tiny arcs that weren't really huge, but man, they stuck. They were so memorable. You know, I mean, everybody knows Berger's the guy that broke up with a post-it note.
Yeah.
You know, that's like, true. That's the kind of stuff that just sticks. Like, yeah. So I am. Yeah. It's weird. It's a weird thing that I'm so looking forward to this. It's just, I didn't expect to. And here I am like, tomorrow I'm going to order pizza and drink some pink something or other. I feel like I should be drinking something pink.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have to make a Cosmo. You have to do a Cosmo.
I could make a Cosmo. I got cranberry and I got lime. I got vodka. Yeah. I might be
able to. There you go.
I don't have a proper glass, but whatever. It works.
Doesn't matter.
It works. So that's some good stuff. We've been watching good stuff. I'm so proud of you going to the cinema. Like, look at you.
Oh, yeah.
Look at you. We're back to masks. We just had a press conference with Bojo the Clown over here, who, by the way, they are calling for his resignation after the Downing Street party last year.
No, I have not.
Okay, so apparently there was a party last year around this time, and we were in like a hard lockdown, right? They were like only gatherings of five, only if, you know, we weren't even like in vaccination mode yet, you know? So it was a hard lockdown, and it was at the height of when hospitals were overloaded, deaths were at an all-time high. And so somehow something got out about this party at Downing Street. And so the rumors were swirling earlier in the week, right? So now as the week progresses, the entire prime minister's cabinet is saying, there was no party. One of the major news networks leaked a meeting with the cabinet members talking about how to handle this. How do we handle this? You know, if it word gets out, it was just a meeting with wine and cheese, and they're laughing and they're giggling about it, and they're like snickering about it. And they leak this meeting about it, and it goes crazy viral. So in Parliament today, the opposing party was just ripping him to shreds. Like, how are you? People were dying and they couldn't be with their loved ones. Like, these they had their constituents Zoom, you know, and say, I was so distraught, you know, I couldn't be with my father as he took his final breath, and you guys are having, you know, parties at Downing Street. And then somebody else was talking about how, you know, she knew that this was going to be her father's or her parents' last Christmas, and she couldn't get there because, you know, there were these lockdown restrictions and you couldn't leave your county and go to another county, and how awful. And then they both ended up passing away and she missed the last Christmas with them. And they were going to town on him. And, you know, all the while he's got to keep standing up and saying, I was told there was no party. I was told that everybody was following restrictions, and I wholeheartedly apologize for not knowing, and all his stuff. And then later on today, he's doing a press conference about the, you know, the new variant and how we're tightening restrictions and we're going back to mask mandates and limited seating indoors, and at even talking about the COVID pass to get into outdoor large events and nightclubs and the things where there's going to be crowds. You got to show that you're tested and back fully vaccinated, and they're going to up the booster program to where you don't have to wait 6 months. You can go in at, like, I don't even know what he said, like between two and four months, they'll be calling you up for boosters. So they're really trying to get a handle on it and everything. And now I'll take some questions from the press. Every single one of them stood up and was like, about this party, you know, they weren't going to like let him. So they want his head on a stick, man. It's chaos over here at Downing Street, honestly.
Yeah, well, you know, we're tightening restrictions too. You know, we're back to having a mask mandate where I'm currently living in Denver. And so it's a pretty liberal, like left-leaning city. And so, you know, they got back on the mask mandate quickly, which I'm really happy about, you know. Yeah. But of course, people aren't exactly following it. You know, I think everybody's just trying to, you know,
I feel like it's between... Is it a mix between intelligently wanting more data about this new variant, because, you know, there's so much mixed messaging. It's mild to moderate, you know, it's evading Pfizer, but if you've had your booster, you're fully protected from it. So there's a lot of mixed messaging, and they just don't have enough. And I notice on Twitter that there's a lot of scaremongering going on from the news outlets, and you know, and the fact remains is that they've done a study that was 12 cases in a lab, and that's just not enough evidence, you know, that it's evading.
Well, it's so vaccine. New.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I do think that people are skeptical to go, want to take steps, you know, backwards.
Yeah.
You know, and they're trying to cling to the positive. Well, it's a little bit more mild, you know, but the fact remains is that Delta is still the dominant strain, and that's still putting pressure on hospitals and everything, and of course being driven by the unvaccinated. But I think, you know, this new one will end up becoming the dominant strain because it's so highly transmissible.
Yeah.
You know, with all the mutations and whatnot. But I think people are clinging to the hope that it would be milder if there was a breakthrough case. So yeah. They're weary about putting, like, do we have to go back to masks if we're just going to get a cold from it? You know, like that kind of thing. So I just think, you know, it ends up coming down to your personal responsibility for your own health and protecting those around you. So for me, I got my booster just before Thanksgiving. I wear my mask. I still wash my hands like a fiend. you know, you do the measures. I keep away from people. I don't go out if I don't have to. You know, it's got to be a really good reason for me to leave the house at this point. You know what I mean? And it's not because I'm a wuss or I'm scared of getting or anything. It's because other people don't follow the rules. And I don't want them to put my health at risk. So I'm going to wait until people either get on board or we're through this before I feel normal. You know, I don't care whether I'm masked up or anything. I still just don't want to be around people.
Yeah, I don't want to be around people either.
I'm you know, so just, okay just in with general. It. Yeah, I'm so okay with it. You know, like,
just yeah,
give me my space. Like, I don't want to be taking any kind of public transportation. If I can't walk somewhere outside, nip in with my mask to get what I need and get home, I'll just order it and I'll wait for a delivery. It's simple as that. No,
that's how I feel too.
And I feel like I'm spending a fucking fortune because there's always a minimum to get a delivery. And half the time it's like, I just need a pack of gum, you know, like I just need 20, like that kind of thing. But no, I'm spending like 40 pounds to get like a 2 pound item. So it's just like, but it is what it is. And that is what I am doing to make myself feel safe, you know?
Yeah. That's what we all have to do that, you know, in one form or another. Right.
Yeah. I'm just
have to
an idiot. I've come so far, you know, and I'm not going to let an idiot take that away from me.
Exactly. We've made it to this point. Yeah, so,
sacrificed, you know, seeing family and friends and missing huge events. And, you know, my ex-husband's funeral is on Friday, and I can't tell you how many, you know, people have been fantastic. I've been getting messages and video calls and emails and texts and, you know, all kinds of, you know, are you okay? Do you need anything? What can I do? You know, I've friends sent me this gorgeous candle. Somebody sent me Krispy Kremes. You know, it's just, it's been, you know, really my friends check in, you know, regularly, and every single one of them who said, are you coming home? And I said, no, you know, like I'm not, no. I made a commitment that I wasn't going to do any kind of travel until after January, you know, so, and I have a ticket for February to go to Florida, but you know, we'll see. I've pushed that one out for 2 years now. If I had to push it out again 6 months, I will. But
yeah,
you know, it's just that's what I mean. Like I know that I am missing massive, huge, important things. But I just gotta do what I need to do to feel safe. And going to Florida isn't on the list, that's for sure.
Yeah, unfortunately, you know,
it's nuts. I don't know how people are doing it. Like so many people are just back to normal, you know.
Yeah,
they just made it
a mindset. Yeah, to
work from home again. Today's press conferences, we're back to masks. We're back to limited indoor seating. We're back to needing a COVID pass for big crowded events, and you must work from home if you are allowed to. So unless you're an essential worker, it's back to working from home. And that's where they're at in the middle of plan B. But I feel like there's more to it and they're waiting for numbers to change before they give us the, oh, and by the way, at Christmas, keep it down to 7. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And no traffic. So I'm super worried. They've already went from like with my parents testing 2 days before, having to test the day before. A PCR test. And then when they get here, they, instead of a lateral flow, they have to take a PCR test here. They have to register with the NHS here, take a PCR test on day 2 and on day 8. And those results have to go to the NHS. And then they have to take another one 2 days later before they leave to go back to the States.
Wow. Yeah. That's a lot of acronyms to go through, you know?
So it's a lot of swabbing. It's
a lot. Yes.
So yeah, I just feel like, you know, the changes are just, they just keep coming. And I think that's partly why my mother was like, if they make it so that I can't come, I swear to God, I am going to go nuts. I'm so looking forward to this, you know? And I said, I know. I'm like, I'm the same way. What's my neighbor's cat is at the door. I was wondering why both my cats just... Oh, what's the matter, buddy?
Wow. Oh, I hear a cat. Yeah, I hear a cat in the background.
That's Bruce. The man of the house is not having it. He's like, get away, you outdoor tramp. I'm not having you in my backyard.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he's trying to figure out how to get through the glass.
Yeah, that he's like, nope, you need to go.
Oh, man. He normally doesn't get rattled by the outdoor cat. It's my girl cat. We'll do this on the glass.
Uh-huh.
10 minutes straight while the outdoor cat just stares at it. Oh, here she comes. She's like, I need it. Oh, now they're both.
She needs a part of it.
She's right in on it. There she goes. Oh, wow. Wow. Chaos. Chaos at night.
That's what happens.
I know.
At least it's before you went to sleep, or else you're going to have your cats waking you up.
Right? I know. He's out. He's like at dusk, he comes out. And he's, you know, prowling the backyards and getting into shit and everything. And then first thing in the morning, when the sun rises, he's outside. I think he sleeps like just in the middle of the day. But mostly he's just the guardian of the neighborhood right now. He has pushed away all the other stray cats and outdoor cats. Haven't seen
them. Wow.
And he just has taken over the backyard. He's chewed through my Christmas lights.
Oh no, yeah,
he's ruined like this outdoor little angel thing that had like a spinner ball, like when the wind blows.
Uh-huh.
Trash that. Yeah, he's dug up some roses.
Whew.
Yeah, he's busy, but
I don't miss when my cat was like that.
I haven't seen you know, I mean, thankfully he upsets the squirrels.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like they sit up in the trees now and they just like chitter to each other, like warning, 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 you know. And then when he's sleeping, that's when they eat out of their nut box. And then the pigeons, gotta say, I haven't seen pigeon shit anywhere.
Well, that is a very good thing, positive right there.
He's definitely keeping the pigeons at bay. So and I haven't seen any mice or hedgehogs or anything. So it's a little different having him around. Like the nature's on the the outdoor critters, you know.
Yeah, your cat's the boss over there.
No, not mine. That's my neighbor's.
Oh, the neighbor cat. Yeah.
My cats are like pampered indoor cats. They don't go outside. They stare at him from the window and be like, "Why is he pooping outside?" So yeah.
So that cat's monitoring your cats then.
Yeah, he's kind of showing them, you know, what real cats are like. My cats are just like, we have a fuzzy fluffy toy, and he's like outside chasing real things, you know.
Yeah, chasing pigeons and squirrels.
Yeah, they all the things that they have like just were once interested in and now don't care about. You know, they used to just sit in the window and watch the squirrels like all day long and watch the pigeons and stuff. And, you know, now they're so used to them that it doesn't excite them. But the outdoor cat, that excites them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
There she goes.
I just need to find my cat. She's somewhere.
Like a normal cat, probably sleeping, right? Like just
by
the sunbeam. Sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I know. She's pretty old though. She's 22. She's a very old
cat. Shut the front door.
Yeah. Wow. She's an old cat.
I had my Florida cat live to be almost 20.
Yeah. We don't know what kind of breed she is, but we think that she has some type of like Maine Coon or like some type of cat that lives to be, there's some cats that can live up to like 25 years or something like that. And her vet thinks that she must have some of that type of cat in her because she's been able to live so long without really any complications.
Oh, that's
so
fantastic.
Yeah, she's been my, you know,
museum.
See, oh, so what kind of cat is he?
He is a Maine Coon.
Oh, wow. Okay, so
he's a big Maine Coon, and then my little girl who is at the patio door, I don't know if you can see her.
Oh, I see her.
Yeah, she is a tortie coon, so she has some tortoiseshell calico in her and some Maine Coon. So, all right. So that's, I like, all right, back on track. Here we go. Steering this truck. Back on there. What kind of cool gay headlines do you have for us, mister?
Yes. Let me see if I can get these in quickly because I have an out in about 5 minutes, actually. So I will try and get these in quickly.
Go for it.
Okay. So first, did you hear about RuPaul's Drag Race announcing their first straight male contestant?
Straight male?
Straight male contestant, yes. The straight cis men are coming for RuPaul's Drag Race.
That feels
weird.
They're
taking it over. I know. Maddie Morphosis is the drag name, and he will be the reality competition show's first ever heterosexual cisgender male contestant.
How do you feel about that? It's so weird. My stomach's doing weird things.
Honestly, you know, I'm not surprised with it, you know, with RuPaul. I feel like that franchise has been trying to appeal to a broader demographic ever since it first started, just like continuously trying to grab more people. And, you know, the show hasn't been as inclusive towards trans contestants in the past. It's only been this most recent cycle that they've had out trans contestants. Right. So I'm like, you know, it doesn't really surprise me. It's like RuPaul's Drag Race is pretty mainstream at this point. So
he's really trying to hit the mainstream. Over here in the UK, they had Victoria Scone last season, right? And she was a lesbian? Was she a lesbian?
So I haven't seen the most recent UK season.
Oh, okay. Okay, it was this coming up season. So yeah, you'll see. she didn't last long. I think she tore something.
Oh,
ankle,
I see.
Knee, something like that. But it was interesting, you know, like the way she mixed in was seamless. You had to keep reminding yourself that it was that she was a real woman.
So she was a cisgender, the first cisgender female contestant. Is that who she was?
Yeah, she was a lesbian.
Okay.
You know, but a biological woman, lesbian.
Yeah.
But she did drag and she was amazing. Really good stuff. It was a shame to lose her as quick as they did, but so yeah, I feel like they're really trying to open some doors.
Yeah, I know. Well, you know, it's great to continuously open the world of drag to more people. Like I don't know if it's, I wouldn't say it's a bad thing at all to have like a, you know, straight cisgender male on the show, because, you know, that I think that breaks, you know, the gender stereotypes that we kind of live through and show, okay, well, yeah, you know, if you're straight, cisgender, you know, heterosexual, yeah, if he's this heterosexual man and he's doing drag, then, you know, there, that really breaks down a lot of these norms that we have.
Society. He's kind of proving it is an art form.
Yeah, exactly.
And maybe that's all it is to him, you know, whereas some people, it's entertaining, it's funny, it's this, it's that. But for him to be able to do something like that, he's got to think about it as like
an art form. Exactly. Drag doesn't have to be tied to gender or sexuality.
Yeah.
You know,
that is interesting. That'll get some people thinking, that's for sure. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know, trying to like think it through right now, you know, as we're talking about it. I'm like, huh, you know, no, this is actually a good thing. You know, we shouldn't be disparaging it. I'm like, yeah, we're just pushing forward.
It's gonna take a little bit. It's like this beer. Yeah,
I know.
It's like this beer.
Yeah.
I'm halfway through.
I know.
I'm
like, I see you slowly. Not really that bad. Yeah. Okay. Next headline. So I didn't know this, but the West Side Story, the reboot that Steven Spielberg is that he directed, is going to be banned in parts of the Middle East for a transgender character, which I didn't know that there was a trans character in West Side Story.
I did not either. I thought the biggest scoop about that was that Ansel Elgort was girls online.
Yeah.
Wow. They're banning it because of, is it a main character? Does it say?
Well, so the censors were not on board with this character named Anybodies, who is transgender and portrayed by non-binary actor Iris Minas. And I have never heard of this character before in West Side Story.
Me neither.
But yeah, it's the movie's going to be banned for featuring this character. And I'm like, this must be a new character, you know, really.
It has to be.
Something.
It has to be. You would think they would, you know, embrace that musical.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's almost Bollywood-ish. You know what I mean? Wow. Well
yeah, the only.
You know how they feel about that stuff over there.
That's true. And there was only one character that somewhat fit the bill for the Jets. There's this, you know, tomboyish girl in the original West Side Story, but she wasn't trans-coded. So this is
very
interesting.
It makes me, like, I didn't want to see it mainly because of how I feel about Eggert, but
yeah.
And now I feel like I might want to see it. I gotta see what it's all about. I gotta see what the fuss is. I love to watch a movie that's been banned somewhere. Makes you feel,
I know, me too,
and happy at the same time.
It's the best thing. Yeah, I guess we'll be watching the new West Side Story then.
I watched the trailer and I, you know, and I'll be honest with you, I only watched it because I wanted to see Rita Moreno because I love her.
Yeah.
That was it. Like, I really didn't I didn't think the casting was that great. I was a little bit put off. But, you know, who doesn't love a little singing and dancing with the Jets and the Sharks? So it's not, you know, it's not going to kill me. But, you know, like I said, now I want to watch it. Now I want to see what this character is all about.
I know, me too. That
had to be a slip in, you know, like something to just make it that little bit more current, a little bit more interesting. And, you know, again, like you said, I feel like directors, producers, presenters are doing their best to just broaden their audience in any way they can.
Yeah, I know. That's really how I'm seeing it too. You know, it's trying to appeal to more demographics because it's such a, you know, timeless story, but, you know, it's definitely appealed to very specific, you know, straight, like, heteronormative type of audiences.
Wow, that is a headline. That is right there. Wow, scoop.
So in American news, so Fox, you know, great right-leaning Fox, says that the Omicron variant was made to help Pete Buttigieg, who was the first openly gay candidate for the American presidency, help elect him as the next president. So yeah, now there's this gay agenda to create COVID variants so that people win specific elections. That's basically what they're saying.
You know, it's no wonder someone set the Fox Christmas tree on fire in front of their building.
I saw that. Yes, I saw that this
morning.
They
asked for it. They asked for it.
It's crazy, you know, right?
There's certain things I don't understand. I don't understand how they're still in business. I don't understand, like, it reminds me of Jonah Hill. Right.
Yeah.
This huge statement, like, please don't come to my Instagram and comment on me and my body. You know, I'm over it. I'm sick of it or whatever. Then he shows up at the premiere for Don't Look Up, dressed like some Vegas. He looked like somebody from Ziegfeld and Roy. and his girlfriend dressed in the exact matching weird seafoam green bejeweled
suit. Okay, I'm gonna have to see this.
Oh my god. So you're gonna show up somewhere looking like that, but you don't want people to comment?
Yeah, that's I'm sorry, but
Fox News. Like you're gonna say stuff like that, and you don't expect people to set your Christmas tree on fire.
Man. It was supposedly an accident. We're gonna go with that. The tree accidentally caught on fire. Nobody set it on fire.
The guy that they arrested, all he had was a lighter in his pocket. He didn't have an accelerant. So. But just goes to show you can do a lot of damage with a Bic.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll blame that on some, you know, queer person. Some queer person set their tree on fire. Yeah, there's the lighter. You don't want to show that because Fox will run some type of segment. They'll find this and they'll run a segment saying that this really is the truth.
She's really in London.
Yeah.
I made she's it back just in a, the day.
She's a liberal actor who, you know, is actually
so
American.
They make my teeth itch.
I know.
They make my teeth itch. They're so sickening.
I know.
Wow.
So question, is the Salvation Army, is that over in the UK also?
Yes.
Okay, so that's an international organization. So they have been known in the past to be very anti-queer, like anti-LGBT. Yeah. And now they've done a complete about face, and now they're being more accepting and open to providing services to LGBTQ people and anti-racism bias training for a lot of the people who volunteer for the Salvation Army. And so now there are conservatives and our country, and I'm sure in many other countries, who are now pissed at the Salvation Army because now they're caring about the LGBTQ population and anti-racism.
I just saw a commercial, now that I think about it, it was the Salvation Army. It was like a focus on homeless people during the holidays, and so they you know, the camera pans in and they're like, Joey's been living on the streets for 12 years and, you know, he gets sexually abused and this and that and whatever. And so basically they're saying like, give money because we're going to help, you know, the homeless or whatever. And yeah. I'm almost certain it had like a little bit of a gay overtone about this kid that's like now a gigolo or whatever that's living on the street and getting sexually abused. The Salvation Army is going to save him.
Oh, wow. Well, That's some very outdated, you know.
I know.
That's a little outdated, but okay.
Yeah, you know, in a way, I feel like they're more known for their band over here, like the Salvation Army band and the marching parades or whatever. They, you know.
Interesting.
And to be honest with you, there's something about James Corden's family or dad that was a musician for, I believe it was a Salvation Army band. Like, I read his book. And I'm pretty sure his dad was in that band. So,
interesting. You
know, it all comes full circle because he's so effeminate, right? Even though he's a straight married dad, you know, whatever, blah, 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 sings and dances and everything on Broadway and West End and all that. So, you know, maybe he has opened them up to thinking in a better way, thinking a little bit more.
All we need is James Corden. Evolve. Apparently.
I know. I heard that when they said they were good, what was the remake? They're making a musical, a redo, and they signed petition that James Corden not be in it.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember
which one it was. I'm just glad he's not in West Side Story. You know, I'm right. Like, thank goodness.
One musical at a time. I can't get overwhelmed.
I know. Yeah, it becomes a little too much.
That's fantastic. Well, he is a little too much, and I think that's what's happening. Like, people are just like, let's.
Yeah. Let's tone it back just a little bit. Yeah.
There is such a thing as overexposure, you know, and I think he's just
nearing
the flames of it. So,
yeah, it's good to take a break once in a while.
They were really, really happy to get rid of him over here. He's like Marmite. Like, you either like him or you hate him. You know, it's very split down the middle, like the Royals. You either like him or you hate him. You know, he did so well with his career over here until he got to the height of his fame with Gavin and Stacey. And they won all the BAFTAs except one. And when they, with the final one for like original script or whatever, and he accepted it, he said something rather cocky. Like, how do you win all the BAFTAs and not best sitcom or whatever it was? In his acceptance speech, and everybody went, not having it.
Yeah, they don't, people do not like that. No.
Yeah, go back to your humble beginnings. And, you know, he just rubbed everybody the wrong way. He had so much bad press, you know, and he came over here. He recovered from it a little bit, you know what I mean? But he definitely needed to go away for a little bit. Like, he offended a lot of people with that. A lot.
Yeah. People do not like when other people seem ungrateful.
Yeah.
It is, they don't, it is forget not a good look.
They really,
no, they don't forget
it. You know, they're like, go on, you fat bastard, go off to America. Get out of here.
Yeah. kick him over here, and now we have him.
Yeah, they won't know about the BAFTAs. They won't know that I effed up the BAFTAs. Exactly.
No.
Oh yeah. My God, he's back. Well, I'm going to go tend to these cats.
Okay.
We'll let you get off to your other job.
All right. Well, thank you for having me, as thank always. You for
bringing the goss, man. It's good to have a catch up.
Yeah.
I should say, I'm so sorry that JD's not here. She's having some dental surgery done, and we didn't want her to slobber and drool all over herself.
No, yeah, we hope that she has a very speedy recovery with that, because yeah, any type of like oral surgery,
yeah, I know.
Yeah, no, thanks.
Yeah, I know. I really feel for her. But listen, I won't see you now before Christmas and New Year's, so
that's true. Have a
great holiday season over there. And
you too.
We will see you back here on the second week of January.
I can't wait.
All right, buddy. Take
all right, well, thank you
so much for doing this. Much appreciated. Yeah. Nick Austin, everybody.
Thank you.
He drank way too much whiskey.
Like, never stop chasing your dreams.